Hi Venkat, welcome to the second episode of Yellow and Blues Cricket Podcast, where we talk about all things Indian cricket and the Chennai Super Kings. I'm your host, Srini Pathsardi, and I'm joined by my co-host, Venkat. Hello Venkat, how are you?
I'm doing well, Srini, thanks. How about you?
Yeah, good, thanks. It's since our first episode last week, you know, it's been an interesting week in a lot of sense, you know. India have wrapped up the T20I series 3-0. Not surprised. Rohit Sharma, he's had third consecutive T20I series win. So there's a lot of things for us to have a look at it. Shreyas Iyer's form, and obviously the big news, the IPL 2022 group format and the dates that have been announced. That's probably an interesting one. And then there's probably a lot more that we still have to cover this week, you know.
There has been plenty of action, nothing short of there is plenty of cricket. Women's World Cup is going to be happening next week. We have India have played some warm-up games, so there's plenty for us to get going.
The couple of the big one, obviously Pakistan visiting Australia for the first time in 24 years, I think. The first test is due to start on the 4th of March. It'll be interesting, to look at how that series pans out in terms of how Australia respond back to in Pakistan. Some of the players should be in a real high with PSL, just entire PSL completed and a win in form, whereas Australia probably coming in cold. So it'll be interesting to see how that test series goes. We'll keep an eye out on that one.
Definitely. Pat Cummins did say that he's felt really safe. I don't know what he was trying to draw attention to. And the other thing was, I think Manas Labuschagne had some Instagram videos about how he was practicing for the spin condition. So it will be interesting to watch from general cricketing point of view. It's good to see a return of Test cricket.
Yeah, but I think from our perspective, I guess, from an Indian cricket perspective, a couple of big things is the first one being the IPL dates being scheduled being announced. I think it's starting on the 26th of March, I think, the start of the IPL. But more importantly, what did you make of the group format that's been announced?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think they had to do this, and they had to go back to the time when there were 10 teams drafted in. So it was inevitable. There was no way, you had everybody playing each other. So they had to reduce the number of games in terms of separating them as the groups and also traveling logistics and so on and so forth. I think it just works well in that aspect. Already the tournament is not happening full-fledged. It is curtailed to a few venues, so some teams obviously will not have the home advantage or the fan following from the home games as well. I think that's a bit of a shame. We are in strange times. I do think, generally speaking, that the tournament is really long. We are diehard fans of cricket, so we will be following each and every game. But I don't think the general public is really going to care until at least about 45, 50 games and then start to seriously follow. I think there's going to be a fatigue that's going to set in. I hope BCCI, takes note and doesn't cut the goose that lays the golden egg.
Yeah, I think, and the way the groups have been divided as well, obviously they've gone down the route of seeding the teams by, based on the number of championships. And then I think MI and CSK, KKR and, SRH, RR, RR, they have all been champions. So they've obviously put them in kind of thing. And then I think the rest, RCB, DC, etc., were based on the fact the number of finals that they've reached. Yeah. It's an interesting format in the sense of it right now, just looking at it right now as it stands, we'll obviously get in and do a deep dive in terms of the strengths and weaknesses in a couple of weeks' time, when we kind of do an IPL preview in a couple of episodes later on the podcast. But just looking at it at kind of first glance, it feels like the group A is the group of death, where at least sure enough, MI, Badant, KKR, Rajasthan Royal, DC, and Lucknow, it seems to be who's kind of trying to in amongst those four trying to fight MI. But and then on the other hand, it feels like at least for us Chennai Super Kings fans, it's a fairly easy teams.
You would think. Basically, going by even how they have fared in the auctions, it's not good. It's not anything to go by auction on a paper. Srini, we have the strongest teams in our leagues and we get hammered. It's one thing. But yes, I do agree that Group A, the group of death, Mumbai, KKR, RR, they all had very strong auctions. DC. So if you look at SRH, they have had one of the, shall we say, the not the best years in the auction. And there's a newcomer. So you would reckon CSK to be performing at least at the top of that group. Let's see.
Yeah. But I think it would be nice, so in terms of the way the rankings are actually going to sit is even though both the teams play separately in the sense of, MI play KKR, Rajasthan, DC, Delhi and Lucknow twice. And then I think they play Chennai twice. And then the rest of the teams in Group B, I think they play just once. However, when you look at the final standings, they are going to be combined standings. I would have probably preferred to Group A have its own standings and Group B have its own standings. And then, you could have gone to those two teams as a basic semi-final and final. Exactly. Or if the, obviously that cuts down into the, in terms of the number of matches, it doesn't go to 70 matches, but that would have probably been a much more tighter IPL, I think, and would have been much better.
Yeah. I think, with all things, in that part of the world, there is always a tendency to overdo, exaggerate and do. So hopefully, I think they would take some lessons from this. Jason Roy, for example, has already pulled out of the tournament, 70 league matches. And if you compare that with PSL, which is a shorter tournament, it had its own moments, but so I would think going forward that this 70 game is not going to be tenable in the long run. The players don't have any break. Loda committee recommended that before IPL the teams need to have at least 2 weeks of break. I don't think we would get this time. And so, I think it's a bit much. As a cricket lover, I'd love to see cricket every day. But even then, too much of anything, as the saying goes, is good for nothing.
Yeah, I think, obviously this series, this tournament is kind of within the last broadcast, right? So obviously the number of games, would have probably been pre-decided or, based on the rights. But starting, I think, in 2023, the BCCI are going to go for a new broadcasting, auction rights for the IPL and stuff. Yeah. And hopefully, as part of that rights, they try and kind of reduce the number of games, move it away, reduce it from 70. That probably would be more ideal, kind of getting it to around 50, 60-ish. It would be interesting. Anyway, We'll probably have a much more in-depth look on the kind of strengths and weaknesses of all the teams in a couple of weeks' time, when we go do a deep dive into the IPL just before the start, on the episode. Moving on from the IPL, the India-Sri Lanka T20 series, wrapped up yesterday. I think the biggest winner for me out of that is Shreyas Iyer. He was absolutely majestic in the three games. Remained unbeaten, scoring over 204 runs. I think he's genuinely made a claim for the number three spot. Mm-hmm. When
indeed, I was thinking about that. He's put on more pressure on Virat Kohli. You know, so that's how I look at it. Because if you look at the openers, and then followed by Kohli, you know, you have Rohit Sharma obviously opening, and then that number three spot, which Kohli had cemented for himself for a long time, is now under pressure. You know, would you play him as a specialist? I mean, batsman, batter. I think, you know, yes, it is undeniably a fantastic series for Shreyas Iyer. But at the same time, I think, you know, it's a problem of plenty. It's a good problem to have. But at the same time, you know, it is very, very difficult to, you know, drop anybody. They have had performance in the past, and nobody, you know, had a off series. I think that's what stands out for me. Is that, you know, this is going to be a tough gig in terms of selection for the World Cup.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You know, sort of on the batting side, there is going to be a problem of plenty. I mean, think about if Rohit Sharma cemented his place, well, he obviously as a captain and kind of thing, but, you know, there's KL Rahul to come back, there's Pant, Ishan Kishan was off injured, this is Surya Kumar Yadav, you know, Shreyas Iyer, Virat Kohli, and then we haven't mentioned Hardik Pandya, you know, depending on how his IPL goes. So, yeah.
Mayank has made the captain, so we should see.
Yeah, Mayank's been made the captain of Punjab, depending on how he goes, you know, depending on how Venkatesh Iyer's form goes.
Yeah.
You know, and Jadeja also, in terms of, you know, his batting has gone leaps and bounds. You know, he's been absolutely fantastic. That second T20,
yeah.
I mean, he played a real innings where, like, you know, there was nothing, no slogs or anything like that. Proper cricketing shots.
I think I always had a hunch that he had a lot more batting talent, and he was not okay in the approach that he always took. He was much of a bravado. But I think with age, I think he's maturing a little bit. And I think the management would have definitely had a chat and say, hey, you know, we are looking at you to play more responsible innings. And I think that shows. I think he did say also in an interview that Rohit had placed the faith in him, which is by Dhoni's playbook in Chennai Super Kings. But even Dhoni would have been proud the way Rohit has led Jadeja, in my opinion, because he's more seeing him as a responsible batsman and an able all-rounder. We all know he's a world-class fielder. And so, yeah, I mean, Jadeja's form, it can do only good to Indian cricket.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Rohit Sharma kind of placing faith on Jadeja. Something Rohit said before the start of this series was on, you know, another player that he picked out was Sanju Samson. And again, you think, like, you know, how is, if all players being fit, how is Sanju Samson going to get into this as well, you know? Then there's Ishan Kishan, whether he plays in purely as a batsman, you know, batsman when Rishabh Pant comes back as well. It is. I mean, there's about what? I think after the IPL, India play another five T20s versus South Africa, and then they play three away in England. I don't know whether the Asia Cup is likely to happen or not, this thing, but given those are probably the IPL and those eight T20i, you know, internationals will kind of almost cement the final 11 and the final 15 to go to Australia. But it will be like, you know, I know kind of Sri Lanka are probably not the strongest team, you know, this 3-0. It was probably a given. I don't think India really had any trouble, you know, with this one.
I have to say, I mean, yes, you know, India were expected to beat, but the second game, I think the captain stepped up to that. The third game as well, I think I almost thought that the game was done at 5-3 or 4 wickets down. by the mid of the innings, and they haven't even started anywhere. And but Sri Lanka just shows that they are a team with promise. They are missing, of course, Tikshna. I think Wahinde Hasaranga. They both are very crucial players. From what I've seen in Sri Lanka, I think they are formative years. They still have some way to go, but definitely they have now the firepower. Some of the shots were brilliant. But yeah, I think Sri Lanka would be a team to contend with. But definitely, you know, India were expected to win this game.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, obviously, Wanindo Hasaranga was like, you know, COVID before the start of the tour, so he didn't play. Yeah. Mahesh Tikshana, you know, one of our Chennai Super Kings, yellow lines.
Yeah.
It's a shame, you know, we didn't get to watch him. You know, he's injured as well. I know you mentioned at the start, you know, when we were talking about the kind of the IPL, you mentioned that Jason Roy Jason Roy pulled out, you know, Gujarat paid I think about 2 crores for him.
Yeah.
One kind of, you know, replacement they could potentially look at was Shanaka.
Yeah.
He obviously Shanaka didn't, you know, no team picked him in the IPL, but his last two performance against India in the second and the 30-20 could potentially put him in as like, you know, an international like for like replacement for Jason Roy. Obviously Shanaka doesn't open, but that would be a good pick, I guess, for you know, if Gujarat are looking for a replacement, he would probably be a good.
Yeah, I think you are right. He's played in similar conditions, similar weather, similar, you know, there's not much difference in terms of humidity or the fielding conditions. And so, yeah, I think he would be definitely a good replacement. And then he has played some really good bowlers and hit them miles into the ground. So, yeah, I think he'd be good to watch in the IPL.
Yeah, I think the second game we did have like a much more stronger bowling. I mean, although to be fair, you know, in the third game, you know, Siraj and Avishkan really were right on top of it. So yeah, it would be an interesting. I mean, we talking about Shreyas Iyer, just kind of segueing into obviously at the end of this T20I, and on Friday, you know, we're recording this on the Monday night, but on Friday, you know, we move into the Test match. Kohli's 100th Test match. It's a shame, you know. That it's probably being played in front of no crowds, and especially given, I think Kohli's really brought Test match back into India in terms of, you know, when he was captain and stuff like that, you know, in terms of getting the crowd on his side and keeping the crowd. It's a real shame that, you know, that game in Mohali is being hosted without any crowds. I'm not sure why they moved it from Bangalore to.
Yeah.
To Mohali, they swapped over because obviously Bangalore, they are crowd is being allowed.
Yeah.
And that was initially the first, supposed to be the first, but they obviously swapped. So it's a shame, like, you know, but it would be good to see, like, you know, Kohli get that 100 monkey off his back.
Yeah, I think every cricket fan is, you know, wondering or worried about that more than Kohli himself would, I think. But yeah, I think it would be good. I think Barmy Army is tweeting the number of days before the next century or the last century. So yeah, I think there is a bit of that. But I do see the lack of crowds probably helping in that aspect. Is that, you know, if you're like in the 70s and 80s and every play and miss, these guys go, ooh, that's going to add more to the pressure. I don't know whether Kohli would prefer, you know, people or not. But the thing is, it is strange, that decision to have moved it from Bangalore. Bangalore is almost the home for Kohli now, being an RCB guy for since he started playing IPL.
Yes.
So, it is going to be interesting. I do hope and wish that Kohli gets his century and then starts to be back on form. He has a test match coming up, an important one, which we may get to see him live in England. Let's see.
Yeah. When he probably, when he comes back, you know, to play that one test. Just picking on the test match, what do you think is, what would you say is the possible starting 11 for India?
Yeah, I would, who's going to open, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's Rohit Sharma, you've got Mayank and Shubman Gill.
Yeah.
I think there's Panchal is another one that's kind of there as a result. I mean, from batting perspective, like, who do we have got? Rohit Sharma, Mayank Agarwal.
Mayank Agarwal. Or Shubham Gill, because it's his home ground, Mohali.
Yeah. Shubman Gill.
Shubham Gill.
There's obviously two spots that's available in terms of Rahane and Chetesh Pujara. Number three would be interesting. Who's going to pick number three? Would you go with Hanuma Vihari for number three, or would you
go with Vihari? He's got the technique. I almost see him in the ilk of Pujara. He's got the technique, temperament, and dare I say, slightly more agile and fitter than Pujara is. But no disrespect, Pujara has been piling runs in the Ranji Trophy. But I think even Pujara would agree that Vihari is slightly, in terms of fitness and agility, better than himself. So I would go with three, but I don't know if India would pick that. Knowing Dravid, he would have somebody solid coming in at that spot.
Yeah, but I guess age is probably not on. On Vihari's side, would you probably go with sort of Gill and
yes
Rohit opening and Mayank at three? That's probably how I would go.
Yep.
Kohli at four and Shreyas probably at five. Pant at six, Jadeja seven, Ashwin eight, and then kind of three pace bowlers.
Yeah, three pace bowlers, or you would want to include a spinner, just to provide some respite. I don't know. I think Mohali, in this time of the year, it's still going to be...
Pace, I think, would be probably a better option in Mohali and, come to Bangalore. Yeah. You probably go with the extra spinner.
Extra spinner, yes. I would say, first game, it's going to be three, and then they would probably rest. I don't see any of the top bowlers playing. I think they'd definitely rest Bumrah. I my hunch. Let's see.
Yeah, I think I agree. But it's a bit of chicken and egg in terms of Bumrah. I think he's only played about two tests in India.
Two tests, yes.
And but you think would Mumbai Indians have the pull to say while resting? He's really not played much this T20 as well. But I think Bumrah and himself would probably want to be.
Yeah.
He would
want to play, get some wickets. Yes, it's a good competition. Test match is a different ball game altogether. Srini, yes, bowling back to back four overs in IPL is very different from bowling an 8-over spell at three times. That I think it's just. I don't think that would be needed. I don't think they will play the top. Because there's lots of competitions coming. There's the important. He's definitely needed for the World Cup. I don't think they would risk injury.
Yeah, that's probably one way. But my gut kind of, I suppose, at least for the first test, they will probably still go with Bumrah, Shami and Siraj as the three bowlers, pace bowlers. Ashwin, I think there is still... When the squad was announced, Ashwin was subject to fitness. So I don't know where, I haven't seen anything, come out in terms of where his fitness levels are and whether he's kind of fit to play. But that's probably an interesting one to look at.
India is spoiled for choice, definitely. India is spoiled for choice. We would like to hear what the viewers, listeners think about what's the potential 11 going to be as well.
Yeah, I know Ishant Sharma kind of, I still think Ishant Sharma is he has more to offer. That out of the three that were dropped in terms of Ishant, Pujara and Rahane, I thought Ishant would have been given a little bit more longer. It feels like, you know, he's been playing for a long time, which is true. Like, you know, he started very, very young. And Ishan 2.0, you know, has been fantastic, you know, compared to the old one. But he's only 33, like, you know, sort of saying, when you look at, you know, I'm not comparing him to Anderson, but when you look at Anderson still kind of, you know, fit and playing at almost 40, you think Ishan at least had another couple more years to, like, you know, offer. I hope, like, you know, he does get a chance to come back and play, or when India come to England, you know, Ishan still gets an opportunity to play.
Yeah, I would hope so too. He was tough to negotiate. I think we saw him in Trent Bridge, didn't we? We went for the game, and it was he was really good. I would love to see Ishan have at least a farewell test, if you know what I mean. At least that they should have some proper closure around that aspect. But let's see how they kind of look at it.
I guess sometimes that's the way cricket goes. You know, you don't get to choose when you finish. We'll see. Moving on to, like, you know, the Women's World Cup, it's due to start in 4 days' time.
Yes,
I think
indeed.
4th of March is the World Women's World Cup. We probably talk in kind of detail about sort of, you know, India's chances and who and stuff like that. But, you know, just talking of Twitter, you know, it's interesting, like, you know, there is quite a bit of debate going on Twitter at the minute about how the official BCCI Women's Twitter handle is basically, like, you know, sort of the only one that's not quite promoting the tournament and, like, you know, Indian women's as much as they were. I think the other day when the warm-up games were happening, out of the six teams that were playing, five of the boards actually, like, you know, sort of mentioned about the warm-ups. There was at least one single tweet. The BCCI was the only one, women's Twitter handle was the only one that didn't tweet at all. And even worse was, like, you know, in the end with the scoreboard and stuff like that, you know, it was actually Yastika Bhatia, I think she came out and she tweeted saying, like, you know, oh, this is what the final score was and what happened. And it was kind of, it feels like, you know, when a Women's World Cup is happening, you would think it would be front and center if Indian BCCI really, really cared about women's cricket, you know, it sort of would have thought it would have been front and center. But it sometimes feels like, you know, the performance of the Indian women's cricket team is in spite of the BCCI rather than because of the BCCI.
Yeah, I think you're fair in your comment. And I would say in a billion people, you can't find a single person to run a Twitter account. I find it really bizarre and strange. This shouldn't be happening. Local county level Twitter handles do a much, much better job than a national women's cricket team. I think it's a shame. I know BCCI would have probably realized that and hope they learn from this and give the place and the prominence that women's cricket deserves in India.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, but let's wait and see. Like, you know, there is the second warm-up match is against West Indies. The final warm-up match is tonight. I'll be recording, you know, it's probably about to start in about 20 minutes or so. Talking about kind of, you know, the Indian women's team in terms of, you know, in the World Cup, the first game they play on Sunday is against Pakistan women's. India, Pakistan, you know, any format, anything.
Yeah.
It is big. So it'll be, like, you know, great to watch that on Sunday night. It does feel like, you know, this will obviously be, like, you know, the swan song for Mithali. This will be her last tournament, I think. She's been playing for a long time. This is probably, like, fingers crossed. Let's hope, like, you know, India can do and, you know,
another win. 171.
It feels like, you know, when Tendulkar's kind of last World Cup, you know, eventually he managed to win it.
Yeah.
It would be nice if the rest of the young Indian women managed to win it for Mithali, possibly for Julan as well. Just in time to see, like, you know, good to see, like, you know, Harmanpreet coming into form. I think she scored a 60-odd in that last ODI in New Zealand when India won. And then in the warm-ups as well, she got 100. So it's nice to see her getting into form just in time for the World Cup.
It would be good because of ICC also has doubled the winners' money to 1.32 million.
Yeah.
Even for runners-up. And I think the entire price bucket, if you know what I mean, has gone up to 3.5 million. So it's like, 1.5 million more than 2017 edition. I think it would be a good time to win or even end up as a runner-up. But I would want definitely as Indian cricket fan to see, India be back on that. But the favourites, I reckon, would be Australia.
Australia, England, and New Zealand, obviously, at home. So you think, those three would probably be, fingers crossed, India come to the semi-final with, Australia, England, New Zealand, and then, it's just a couple of games from there sort of thing. One other thing, we just quickly covered before we kind of move on from the Women's World Cup, is that, that matches are going to be allowed with only 9 players. What do you think about that?
I do think, it is, my view is that it is unlikely to happen, but even if it does, I don't think it would bring down the quality of the game because, you can't bat or bowl. Let's go back and look at the conditions, right? I think New Zealand and the strict bio bubbles are not there. Daily COVID tests are not there. So I think the tournament is supposed to be played in a managed environment. So I do think they also think that the feasibility or possibility of those players not playing is rare, and that's why they have given this caveat. And I think it's good. It just goes to show that as women's tournament and women's cricket comes to fruition, that you need a terrific bench strength as well. These are the times that we live in. I think it's a challenge more in terms of that, in terms of squad strength, rather than the rules and the game getting diluted. I do think this is the first time I've ever heard in the last 40 years of following cricket that they said somebody from your squad can just, like a physio, can turn up and field.
We'll see how that one pans out. Just before we close, let's kind of look at podcast, given the fact that we are CSK fans, sort of almost start a new segment called the Lions Watch, where we keep an eye out at what the CSK Lions are doing domestically, internationally, or in other global leagues when they're not playing IPL for CSK. And I suppose probably injury watch is the best place to start with. Right at the beginning of the series, before the start of the series, we had at the end of the West Indies series, Deepak Chahar injured. Start of this series, Ruturaj Gaikwad, sort of added to the injury. Mahesh Tikshna was another one, that's been injured. So it seems to be there are more CSK players injured at the minute than ones that are actively participating, so to speak. Devon Conway is probably the only one who's playing in against South Africa.
He's doing a good job, but the South Africa themselves are on the ascent. New Zealand have their backs to the wall. I think they are struggling.
Yeah,
you'll know today.
one other news, talking about sort of the Lions Watch and the CSK is I don't know if you saw CSK announced this week that they've started a new Super Kings Academy in Chennai and Salem.
I didn't know. I know Natarajan, the fast left-arm fast bowler, had a similar setup, but I'm sure with CSK having their coffers open for that kind of an academy, it would be interesting to see how cricket develops in that part of the region.
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth something for us to keep an eye on and sort of the CSK academy. They've said in terms of players from CSK will be visiting the academy and some of the coaches as well. So a bit of an interesting news coming out of CSK in terms of around the Super Kings Academy. Chennai, that makes sense. But the interesting one for me was the one in Salem, trying to look at, I think, the other districts of Tamil Nadu to see, what potential talent is there and bring that up. That would be interesting. We'll keep an eye out on
it. It's good that CSK are giving back to the community. This should only help the region. It's a great initiative, and one that I think all the other clubs will also soon follow suit.
Yeah, so fingers crossed on that one. Well, let's on that note, news starts and stuff like that, wrap this week's podcast. I think until next week, when we probably will have the, I think by the time of us recording, it's likely to be the fourth day of India versus Sri Lanka. Let's see if the test lasts 4 days, given the fact that tests don't last in India more than 2 or 3 days now. So maybe we'll look at the wrap of that one, see where the Women's World Cup is and how India versus Pakistan has happened in that one, and what else is happening in the world of cricket at that point. To subscribe to this podcast and follow our website, yellowandblues.com. We're also on Twitter with the handle at Yellow and Blues. Yellow is spelled YELLOVE. And make sure you leave your reviews on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, and then, rate this podcast and any other podcast that you get your podcast from. So until next week, it's signing off me, Srini. Bye, Venkat.